Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
We're going to continue our series called Save the Date. Save the Date. For this month, the month of April, we're talking about marriage, sex, and relationships. We are stepping into an ongoing conversation that culture's having, that you're having, that Netflix is having, and asking, well, what does God have to say? And I just want to start right here with you. Why would we go anywhere else when the Creator tells us about these things? Like, if I've got an issue with something, some device, how many, every time there's an operating system update, you don't know what happened? I don't know what happened. Where did my stuff go? How do I send a message? And now I got to Google, and I Google the originator, in my case, Apple, and it, why is my message is doing this? I go to the source. I go to the one who knows. And for this month, we're going to go to the one who knows. Now, here's the tricky part. You and I live in a world that's filled with lies. And so some of what we hear, we immediately say, no, like, that can't be right. Because we're so used to living in lies. Does that make sense? So look, what I'm going to share today, it's not going to make sense. It's God's plan for our lives. And that's always a good thing. So as I sat down to write this message, I had a picture of my kids on my desk with me. Take a look at this picture. It's my kids. They're awesome. You can say, aw, that's okay. You can do that. They're cute. I like them. Keep them around for a little bit. My son's 9. Seen better. Heard that. We'll talk about that later. Me and Rich, it just is great. I had this picture of my kids, and I thought, if I were to write a message for them, if they were to sit here and I were to speak to them, what would I say? And specifically, I wrote this, what would I say to these two children to prepare them for marriage? If I were to sit down and look at, and I have, just looked at it and say, here's what you need to know before you're married. Today's message is called Before I Do. Before you're married, what would I say? And then I thought, well, the room's not going to be filled with 9 and 7-year-olds, at least not physically, mentally. We'll work on that. But I thought, okay, there's going to be adults here. So I thought about my young adult small group. I love my Monday night group. Take out this picture. It's just some of us from a young adult group. Shout out to the young adult small group. We throw down harder than any of you, I promise you. I got introduced to a dirty Dr. Pepper a couple weeks ago at small group. Yes, it's legal, people, okay? But Dr. Pepper and some coconut cream and some lime juice. So we just have a good time. And I thought, okay, young adults, right? In a season of life, many of them single or engaged, what would I say to them to prepare them for marriage? So today, this message is for kids, is for young adults, and it's for everybody. But specifically, okay, specifically, I want to talk to those that are single. Those that are not married, or maybe you've been married and now you're in a season of singleness, I want to talk specifically to you. Now, the reason why is because shout out to the singles, okay? Whenever we do a marriage series, the singles go, do I even need to come to church this month? You're just going to talk to married people for like 4 weeks. So the singles have been riding this thing and staying with it. So this one's for you. Also, for those of you that are married today saying, okay, I guess I can check out for this one. The reason why this matters to you, you're going to want to write this one down, is because many of us are married and yet we're acting like we're single. So trust me, this will apply for you because you're still going out and living life as if you're single. So just take this and start applying it. But I want you to see, we're going to discover 3 qualities that we all need before we say I do. You'll see as we work through it, honestly, we need these, whether we're married, single, been married, not doing it again, or on our way to do it again, we need these qualities. Now, a special shout out to those that are on the young side, students in this space, late teens, mid-teens, early 20s. I'm telling you, if you can grab onto God's plan for your life now, you can avoid a lot of heartache later. If you can understand this today and you can surrender this part, I know it's hard. We're going to talk about relationships, sex, marriage, singleness today. If you can grab what God has for you now and live it out, you're going to avoid having to skip parts of your story later in life. So lean in. This is for all of us. I want to start with this question. It's a question that we probably have all asked in some way. In fact, my 9-year-old has asked this question already, some form of it. And it's simply this: how do I find the right person? Dad, I'm out here on the playground, scoping them out. Go get them, son. Go on. How do I find the right person? How do I know who's the right person? We all ask that in some way. Now, married people, don't ask that question anymore. I'm trying to help you out. Don't ask that. We're going to talk to you next week. Next week is 4 lies to destroy your marriage. You got to be here. You don't need to ask that one, okay? Culture says you do. Well, I'm not happy. They don't complete me. They've changed. How do I find the right person? It's a question we ask. And then we have options, right? Okay, so what do? I just slide into someone's DMs. That's what culture says. I just swipe a certain direction and maybe we'll get the right swipe. Or use the sanctified version, Christian Mingle. No, nothing against it, just a little holier. Feel good. Maybe I'm gonna leverage the power of my small group. Man, I noticed the way you were praying tonight. I feel like we could pray better together. You want to do an all-nighter with me? For prayer, for the Lord. Some of you think small group is just a dating scene. That's okay. Better to meet them in church than at the bar. It's all right. How do I find the right person? I'm going to give you the answer right now, okay? So single, you definitely want to write this down. And it's by asking a better question. How do I find the right person? Let's ask a better question. How do I become the right person? Start asking that. How do I become the right person? Okay, you're married. Here's where it applies. Instead of you wondering how you can change your spouse and pushing all of that energy in that direction. Man, this person's not the person I first married. We'll be married 15 years this August. Been married for 15 years. She's not the same person I married 15 years ago. No, duh. Yeah. Of course she's not the same person. Of course he's changed. He's 15 years into this with you. So you're still holding on to this idealized version that you have of what was. What was wasn't good. It gets better with time. You know what I'm talking about. She's shaking her head. No, don't go there. Culture is a liar. Culture wants to tell you sex is only good when you're running around doing it with anybody, no strings attached, waking up the next morning, wonder if the person's going to be there. No. It gets better with time. It's consistency in marriage, in relationships. Of course they're not the same person. So instead of you wondering, how do I change them? How do I make them better? What if you start asking, how do I become the right person? Here's why. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. Singles, you can want all day for someone who seeks the Lord and prays and tithes. Are you doing that? Are you? Here's how Andy Stanley says it. Become the type of person the person you're looking for is looking for. So actually become that person. You're looking around. I want that person. Are you that person? If you were looking around and saw you, would you want you? So we got to work on us today. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to work on us. And again, culture would say, well, to be that person, just be true to yourself, discover yourself, chase happiness, do whatever you want. Why would you try to discover yourself when you can discover the God who made you? Discover him. Let him inform who you are. So who is that person? We're going to have 3 qualities. Everybody say three. Say three. Three. We're going to have 3 qualities today that you need before you're married. You need these if you are married, but especially before you're married. Now, before we get to the three qualities, I want to read from the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and in one of his writings that we call Corinthians, he writes extensively on singleness and marriage and sex and all of that. And he gets to this part that I want to use to encourage singles. I want you to be encouraged. This is scripture. This is Paul the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Here's what he writes. But I wish everyone were single. Say single.
Single.
He says, I wish everyone were single just as I am. Paul's letting us know he's single, and as he writes on marriage, on sex, on singleness, he goes, I just wish everybody was single. Yet each person has a special gift. Say gift. I want you to remember that word, gift. From God of one kind or another. Next verse. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. He goes, I'm going to just speak right now to the singles in the room. Widowed, not married any longer, those that are not yet married. He actually says, it's actually better. It's better. Doesn't that push against what we're told? Especially in the church. Because the church, I've seen, the church has this way of highlighting marriage as the pinnacle of the Christian walk. Like, you are not whole or complete until you're married. You get some well-intentioned believer, brother or sister in the Lord, comes up to you, puts their arm around you. Don't worry, your prince is coming. Jesus is your king right now. You're fine. He's got a special person for you. And you're told versions of that, as if one person is an incomplete person. As if you need another flawed person to come in your life and two flaws make a whole. Come on, that's just not true. That's not true. In fact, Paul, who writes this, he did pretty good, yeah? Started a few churches, wrote most of the New Testament. He was single, doesn't seem to be incomplete. How about John the Baptizer? The one who came and prepared the way for the Lord and baptized people, did pretty good, single. You know who else was single? Jesus. Did okay. Not bad. Didn't need another person to complete him. Didn't need to feel whole by going home to someone. Come on, I'm just right here starting with you because I don't want you to confuse these three qualities with you have to do this to be married. No, these are good qualities. But marriage is not the goal. Jesus is the goal. If you're divorced today, if you're widowed today, don't let the enemy sneak in and lie to you and tell you you're somehow broken. No way. Marriage is not the goal. Jesus is. In fact, Paul goes on to say in the same chapter, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. You want to know what your purpose is in life? It's to live in undivided devotion to Jesus. It's to live for him. It's to know him. It's to experience his transforming love. And so you can do that in singleness. You can do that in marriage. But that person does not complete you. And not having that person doesn't make you less than. Jesus is for us today. If you believe it, say amen. He's for you. So I want to share with you three qualities that we need before we're married. I encourage you to write these down. Full disclosure, in preparation for this, I gleaned so much from Craig Rochelle at Life Church, and it's just phenomenal. So if you hear something you like, he probably said it. Email him. If you hear something you don't like, I probably got in the way of his message, okay? So that's what happened there. But here's the first quality, secure in Christ. You got to be secure in Christ. We're talking about that already, but I want you to understand, if you want to end up happily ever after, married and happy, you need to start single and secure. Have you ever dated an insecure person? I'm not going to ask if you are the insecure person, okay? So just leave that alone. You're like, no, I actually haven't. Okay, well, this might be you if... Come on, you date an insecure person, the person is always asking, do you like me? Am I good enough for you? Hey, who are you texting? Hey, we're still on. Tons of questions. Tons of insecurity. In fact, let's pull away from just the dating thing. If you've ever been around an insecure person, insecure people are always looking for validation from others. Always looking to be validated and affirmed. Insecure people are constantly comparing themselves to other people. Insecure people have a huge fear of rejection and abandonment. And that could have been from trauma in life, developed over time. Insecure people have a lot of negative self-talk going on. Now, some of you guys are like, oh, dang, I have dated that person. Here's what we know about insecure people. Insecure people need more, watch this, and settle for less. Insecure people need a whole lot more, and you know what? Because of that, they'll settle for a whole lot less. Here's the problem. If you're single and insecure, you're going into a relationship, into a marriage, expecting that person to complete you, to satisfy you, and you know what that is? A crushing weight on that person. You are setting yourself up and them up for frustration and disappointment. That person cannot make you secure. Look, we all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. In fact, my daughter, Cece, she's 7. A couple weeks ago, we were talking, asking her, hey, what's going on? You got anything you need prayer for? And she brought up, she said, you know, there's a group of friends that I would love to be a part of, and I can't fit in with them. 7 years old, articulating, I want to be accepted, and I'm not. And I was able to come alongside her and affirm, hey, I understand that feeling of wanting to be accepted, feeling rejected. And also, let's remember, there's a Father who accepts us as we are. But it's in you. Hear me. I just don't want you to think it's wrong to want to be accepted and loved. The need's not wrong, but what we do with the need could be a problem. So do you immediately go to that other person, that group of people, or are you running to Jesus? Secure in Christ. Look at this verse, Colossians chapter 2. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And you have been made, say the word with me, complete. You've been made complete in Christ. See, here it is. Singles, married people, divorced, widowed. Everything you need is in Christ. And until you realize that, and until we live there, we will continue to expect others to do what only Jesus can do for us. I'm just talking to my kids, telling my kids, you've got it in Jesus. Don't settle for less. Don't compromise. You're a leader, not a follower. Honor. Don't. You have what you need in Jesus. So here's what I say. Singles, don't lower your standards. Don't trade your body away for love. It's not love. Don't go chasing that. You have everything you need in Jesus. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Here's a second one. Strong in character. You got to be strong in character. Too many people, especially those that are in that season of dating, live as if tomorrow doesn't matter. Well, I'll have fun now and I'll settle down later. I'll do what I want now while I can, but once I'm married, I can't go out, I can't be with the boys, we can't have a girl's weekend, so I'll just do whatever I want now, right? And not even think about tomorrow. You don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. Let me say it this way for marriage. You don't build a healthy marriage on a foundation of singleness that was not strong in character. You're building your house right now. You're building something that if God directs you and another person to be married, you're gonna come together. There's stories you'll share. There's past experiences you'll go through. There's moments that you'll say, well, let me tell you about why not make the decision today to be strong in character. It's not easy. Anything but easy. So where do we even start with that? Because it's kind of vague. Well, I thought of the verse that we share with those who are being water baptized. One of my favorite verses where Paul speaks to a young man named Timothy and gives him five areas of his life where he needs to be strong in character. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. Would you say this part with me? Come on, nice and loud. In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Five areas, I want you to write them down. You wanna know where to be strong in character? It starts here. Hey, what you say matters. Guys, the way you talk to women matters. You're expecting to be married someday? How are you treating her? What are you saying? Are your words uplifting? Ladies, the way you speak about men, married women, the way you speak about your husband matters. You keep saying he's always lazy? Of course he is. You've been saying that for years. Our speech matters. Our conduct, what we do, matters. How we use our hands, our behavior matters. In love, how deeply do you love? What's your depth of love? What's your motive for love? Is it simply, if it's reciprocated, then I'll love? Well, that's a bargaining chip. That's a contract, not a covenant. If he loves me, I'll love him. If she loves me, I'll keep up my end of the deal. Is it no marriage contract? It's a covenant. In faith, what's your dependency on God? Do you depend on God? Do you go to God in prayer? When a challenge hits, who do you go to first? Just so you know, these are the questions I will ask a boy who ever tries to date my daughter. Now, she already knows she can't start dating until she's 40 anyway, so it don't even matter. I got 33 years to figure this out. I want to see your tax returns. I want to see your tithing statement. See all of it. I'm not even joking. I am completely serious. I'll tell you why. I'm going to ask. I want to see your tax return. I want to see your tithing statement. Because one, I don't even care how much money you make. If you didn't file your taxes last year and don't know where your tax return is, ain't no way you're dating my daughter. And scripture says those that don't give are robbing God. My daughter don't date thieves. So show me your tithing statement. Some of you are married. I'm not your dad. Happy I'm not your dad. In purity. Impurity, strong in character. Are you strong in this area? Now, I want to talk about this one because this is one that's under attack by culture. Purity. Purity's not sexy. Purity doesn't sell. Purity is laughed at. Students, purity is laughed at. I don't know how you do it. It is so hard. You know how? Through the power of Jesus. It's the only way. You need community, students. You need to be coming to First Friday. You gotta be talking to your small group leaders. Purity. Singles, let me talk to you for a minute about purity, about lust, about sexual immorality. If you think that marriage is going to fix your lust problem, because, oh, once we're married, we're gonna have sex every day, right? The married people are laughing right now. You singles should be, right? Not sure if it's every day. We'll come back to that. Okay. Yeah, but it's an issue now, but once I get married, it'll be fine. No, it won't. You're bringing lust and sexual immorality into your marriage. Marriage doesn't fix you. Jesus does. Your spouse is not your savior. He is. Married people. Just because you're married does not mean anything goes. Especially sexual immorality. And if you think, I'm just gonna press in. If you think that pornography use in your marriage is enhancing your sex life, you have been lied to. And you're stuck. And you're trapped, and I get it. Pornography is sin, and you can call it what you want. Oh, it's just TVMA, it's just brief nudity, it's just a sex scene. That, why don't you talk to your spouse about that? It's just a show. And let me just say this, spouses, if you're engaging in this together and thinking that it's helping your marriage, it's not. You don't even need Jesus to tell you that. The science will tell you that. Data will show you that. What this does to your sex drive, to your brain, to trust and intimacy in a marriage when pornography and sexual stuff is introduced. So I felt such a burden to highlight this for you, to invite you as your pastor today. Today, this day is a freedom day. And if you are trapped, I get it, it's a trap. Don't lie to yourself. So what? It's been a week that you haven't looked. You need community. You need accountability. You need prayer. You need support. You need to get serious about it. So here's my invitation to you. Take me up on it or not. Men, you're having an issue with this. I want you to email me or text me if you have my number. Women, you're having an issue with this. Email or text Amy. You can't stay here. Single or married, you can't stay here. The enemy is having a field day with this nonsense, and it's destroying your life, and you may not even see it. So this might be new to you, like, okay, so what? If you're gonna kick me out, we don't do that at this church, okay? We're gonna kick you out. We're actually gonna bring you closer. We're actually gonna love you more. We're actually gonna make sure that you get into a journey of healing, because health is a direction, not a destination. So we're gonna start moving in the direction of health. Okay, here's the third one, planted in community. Three qualities: secure in Christ, strong in character, planted in community. Come on, you know this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Who you surround yourself with, who's speaking into your life, who you're modeling your life after, that's your community. You need to be planted in a gospel-centered, life-giving community. So think, the people you hang out with now, singles, the people you hang out with and they're married, they are shaping what your marriage will look like. They just are. And I want to be around people that I can see the next 15 years, what will my marriage look like when I'm 30 years in? I want to find those people and I want to get planted into their lives. I want to know how you're doing it. I want to know how you love each other well. I want to know how you're running this thing strong. I want to know when challenges come up, what you do to get to Jesus. You'll be planted. Have you thought about your community? Who's speaking into your life? And that could be physical people. It could be culture and the media you take in. It shapes it. Here, Proverbs 13:20. This is great. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Just walk with the wise. Find some wise people and start walking with them. Don't even hide it. Hey, I'm here because I realize I need a better picture of marriage and singleness. I want to walk with you. Okay? That's great. Let's walk together. Planted in community. Here they are again, secure in Christ, strong in character, planted in community. Would you say this with me? Come on. Strong in Christ. I messed it up. Start over. Stay with me now. Secure in Christ, strong in character, planted in community. We got to be secure in Him. He made you. He knows you. You got to be so secure that even when you mess up in front of a group of people, you don't even worry about it. Be strong in character. You can be planted with the right people. Single people, grab onto this. Married people, start living this out and see what it does for your marriage. Come on. So I wanna do something a little different. How many of you are okay if we do something a little different? All right. Some of you are wise, you didn't say anything. You are the people I wanna walk with, okay? I ain't saying nothing. All right, why don't you stand up then if you're willing to do this, all right? Some of you are still wise, you're like, I'm not gonna stand up. We can see you. I was thinking about this message, thinking about, you know, it's a lot of practical application and teaching. I just said, God, where do we go? How do we end? I thought, man, we could do something a little different today. So we're gonna go outside. All right, I want you to remember these words as we go outside. Try not to talk too much with each other. We can do that after. We're still in this moment. secure in Christ, strong character, planting a community, how God wants us to live, especially in our singleness, but at any time. And we're going to finish this up at the hill. Okay.